Lord Jesus Christ, we pledge ourselves, our time, talents, and treasures to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in 2013. Pour out your blessings upon our church, our school, and our campus ministry, sharing the good news with those around us. May, by the strength that God provides, in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Before I begin the sermon, I think I better explain my stool. I am a liturgical pastor, and I know white is the proper color for today, but some months ago I attended a Lutheran Women's Missionary League conference, and they asked the question, what pastor served as counselor over the years? And I raised my hand, and I reported that over off and on I served as counselor for about 16 years, and they said, well, we've got a present for you. And this is the stole that they gave me, and as a retired pastor, I kind of go out on a limb. I feel nobody can hurt me anymore by what I wear or what I do, and I wear it on all occasions, even funerals. And many funerals are a celebration of life. And more people compliment me on the stole at a funeral than at any other time. Well, today's not a funeral, but a time of rejoicing, and I want to express my spirit of thanksgiving and joy to be with you again. Not that I remember many of you, because I left here 40 years ago. I began my ministry 48 years ago on Groundhog Day, 1964, and served until I accepted a call to Watertown, Wisconsin, some 8 years later. And at our noon banquet or dinner, we will be not only enjoying a meal and singing a song, but I have been asked also to reminisce and share a few thoughts that I can remember about my ministry at Trinity Lutheran in Norman. And as I prepared my message, I thought, well, I think I'll do a little reminiscing as well and talk about stewardship and some of the things and some of the practices and programs that different churches had over the years as they had their Pledge Sunday or their attempt to set a budget for the coming year. And I would like to share some of these that I can recall. And I must warn you, they aren't all good. Some are good, some are bad, and some are ugly. And so before we talk about the good, bad, and ugly, we ask that the Lord would bless our message and our time with you, that the name of the Lord of the church may be honored and praised. First of all, the one stewardship emphasis that I can remember way, way back after the Depression, etc., was a program that was referred to as the scandal sheet. Have you ever heard that phrase? Well, I'm glad it just stayed in Wisconsin. But what happened is that whenever the people in the congregation were asked to give a donation, or they were called dues, my father would call the treasurer at the end of the year and ask how much his brother-in-law had given thus far. And once that amount was determined, my dad would say, I'm going to give $1 more. And so at the end of the year, there was a printout of all of the names of the members plus the amount that they gave, hence the scandal sheet. Then there was the Ebenezer thank offering. This occurred, I think, in about 1965, the second year I was here. This was a synod-wide thank offering, and it was called Ebenezer, and maybe that's a strange name, but you sang about it in the second verse of our sermon hymn. Ebenezer comes from 1 Samuel 7, verse 12, and it means, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped me," King James Version. And so every member was encouraged to count his or her particular blessings and then join in giving a special offering to our synod. Then there were others over the years. One was known as the Kurt Zander Plan. This was probably in about 1969 or so. There were two pastors from Ohio named Zander and Kurt, and they came up with this idea. In every congregation, there were supposed to be very knowledgeable men who kind of knew what everybody in the church earned for a living. And so they would meet and sit down and say, well, there's a guy, he earns about $40,000, and there's a guy, $100,000, and they'd go through that way. And then they would sit down and write a letter to every member and say, on the basis of the amount that you are earning this year and next year, we want you to strongly consider giving a tithe of your income, and that amount is, and they filled in the blank. That didn't go over too well. Another memory that I have occurred on Christmas Eve, I think it was 1966. And our congregation was really behind in our donations to Synod and the district. And our stewardship secretary, whose name will not be mentioned here, out of Christian love and charity, but he had a different way of doing ministry. He sent a telegram to all of the pastors in all of the churches in the Oklahoma district on Christmas Eve day. And in that letter and telegram, which he made very personal, he told us how far behind we were in our pledges. And the real clincher was I had to stand up before the church on Christmas Eve with a full house and give them this bad news, that you only had six more days to meet your pledges for district and synod. That didn't go over very well either. Then many churches have emergencies, and there is a particular cause or need that arises. And so the motivation that the financial secretary and treasurer give is that, hey folks, we have a real need coming up. We have to replace all the air conditioning, or a main water line has ruptured, or our pastor hasn't gotten a raise in 10 years. You have, I hope. And so this was the appeal, kind of putting a guilt trip on the people and not giving so much to the Lord or how much they earned, but rather to give to a cause. Finally, there was another program. This came about 20 years ago. Came from Synod, and it was a very good one. It was called His Love, Our Response. Do any of you remember that? Wow. Oh, there's one back there. I'll see you later. I admire your memory. Anyway, this was gospel-centered. Instead of relying on the law and making people feel guilty or embarrassing them by what they gave, here there was the proclamation of the law, and there were many, many sermons that pastors delivered, reminding people of God's abundant love and mercy, and that we have been called into the kingdom of God through our holy baptism. We have been nurtured in the faith through the proclamation and the study of God's word. And as we feed on the sacrament, we grow in our faith and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His love, and then your response. Again, it was a very, very good program. Well, when Pastor Nairns asked me to be with you today, I asked that he would give me a little background information of what you were doing and how you were handling your stewardship emphasis. And he told me that he has already addressed you on three subjects or three themes: the giving of first fruits, tithing and proportionate giving, as well as the cheerful giver. And today I am privileged to address you on the theme of the from Scripture's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. I know verse 11 is also included in that, but I just want to focus on 10 right now, and we'll expand on 11 in just a moment. But St. Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. As I read that text, and I really was struck by this phrase, use whatever gift he has received. I had the privilege of serving the Oklahoma District as evangelism secretary for about 20 years. And one year there was a special emphasis on spiritual gifts. And that particular emphasis included the following: a study of various portions of the New Testament, especially 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, Ephesians 5, and our text here this morning, 1 Peter 4, or just before the text, the gift of hospitality is also mentioned as a spiritual gift. Other spiritual gifts that were mentioned are the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, missionary, teaching, helping, serving, leadership, hospitality, mercy, and of course, giving. And St. Paul defined that as contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. And for our purposes today, we really want to talk about giving especially, but just another word about spiritual gifts. Part of that emphasis included a survey that every member was encouraged to take, kind of a questionnaire. And it was very private, just between you and your Lord. No one else knew about it as you took the survey. But the purpose of the survey was for you to determine, to discover what your spiritual gifts were. And we in the Lutheran Church defined or found 19 of them, and none of us have all 19. Most of us have just one or two, or maybe three. But once you discover what your gift is, you are to use it not for your own glory. You are not to use it for your own advancement or your own pleasure, but only in the service of the kingdom of God, so that the Church of Jesus Christ can be built up. One other part of spiritual gifts are that once you discover what your gift is, then if someone asks you to teach and your spiritual gift isn't teaching, you can say, sorry, that's not my gift. And yet the gifts that you do have and that you do discover, when you are asked to be a leader or a teacher, whatever it may be, you may joyfully say, yes, the Lord and the Holy Spirit has blessed me, has gifted me with this gift, and I will serve gladly. Yes, these gifts are to be used in the kingdom of God. These gifts are are due to us as God's grace, or as Peter put it, when you do such work faithfully, you are administering God's grace in its various form. God's grace. What a beautiful phrase. And certainly in the Lutheran Church, the one word that is most important in our theology is grace. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And from the beginning of life at baptism until our eyelids are closed in death, we cling to the promise of God's grace and mercy to each one of us. And God's grace is defined as undeserved love of God that he shows upon, that he showers upon us. Not something that we earn, and certainly not something that we deserve, but rather because of his grace. And whenever we use our gifts, We are administering God's grace. Again, not doing this for our own glory or our own pleasure or our own advancement or enjoyment, but rather that the name of the Lord may be praised and honored in all that we do and are. Peter then concludes this part of the text with a wonderful doxology. And that doxology is found, "To him be the glory and the power forever and ever." And so the Christian steward, as he considers his gift of giving, certainly can remember that popular song that we often sang, that hymn, "We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." And now we come to the final part of our message. And I described or named our message, Stewardship Practices from Here to Eternity. And we've talked about past practices and your practice. And now, what about the stewardship of those who have gone before us? On this All Saints Day, a special day in the life of the Holy Christian Church, we remember those who have gone before us to their eternal rest. At every funeral that I have at Messiah or wherever I may be, I always include St. John's words, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And in today's epistle lesson from the book of Revelation, or rather the first reading, there we have that view, that snapshot of what the saints are doing in heaven. They're not serving themselves, they're not serving each other, but they are serving the Lamb who sits upon the throne. That is a picture of heaven, and that is the picture of those who have gone before us. The book of Hebrews talks about those who have lived and died in the Lord as a great cloud of witnesses. And for a moment, I remember back in 1969, we had a building program here. And if you can imagine that roof there and these pillars, and we tore out all the walls. We looked as though a bomb had gone off in this church. And then we added the wings and moved the altar here from back there, etc. But it was times like that, but for now, let's just look up for a moment and imagine that ceiling also. The roof of the church would be gone. And here all the saints are looking down at us. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says, they are a cloud of witnesses. They're kind of cheering us on. And many of us cheer at sport events or our children when they achieve certain things. But these saints are also cheering us on. And we are to follow in their steps and follow their examples. Today is kind of an emotional day for me because I remember many, many of the saints here who have gone to their eternal rest. And sometimes I get a little emotional about that because your congregation graciously sends me your newsletter every month. And I'm always glad to see that, but it kind of tears at my heart when I see another brother or sister that I knew, that I baptized, that I confirmed many years ago, have gone to their eternal rest. In 2003, while serving in Ponca City, I was asked to go back to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Netowaka, Kansas, for their 100th anniversary, their centennial. Not that I'm quite that old, but they were celebrating their 100th anniversary, and it had been 30 years since I had been there. And we went up a little earlier on Friday and Saturday and visited with groups of people. And then on Sunday morning, I was to have a sermon. And on Saturday night, my wife and I were resting in the Hilton, not the Hilton, Holton, Kansas Hotel. And I became very disturbed and upset. And my wife said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "I just don't know what to preach tomorrow morning." And she says, "What do you mean? You worked on that sermon. You had it done weeks ago." And I said, "But I talked with about 100 people on Friday and Saturday, and all of them spoke to me about all of the bad things that had happened to them over the past 30 years. Oh, my grandchild died. My wife was killed in a car accident. I had both arms ripped out by a corn shucker machine, and all of these things." And I just was very upset because I felt so badly that I hadn't been there to minister to them. And my wife, who has a lot of wisdom, she said, "Hey, they had their own pastor. The Lord provided shepherds for them. I guess I was taking myself too seriously because I missed being with them." But this is so true, that when we leave this life or leave this pulpit or go away from this ministry, God always provides another shepherd and other people to fill the pews and to carry on the mission and ministry of this congregation. And that's where you come in. You're here to do your work, God's work, in this generation to His glory. There are many who have gone before us. Praise the Lord that they are with their Savior now. But now may you see that you have replaced them to carry on this work. And may the Holy Spirit guide and bless you in your faithful use of God-given gifts to serve one another and to serve Him who loved us and gave Himself for us, even Jesus Christ, our beautiful Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused upon our blessed Savior, Jesus. Amen.